Jeannie, and new body insecurity just dropped.
Fun. Hi, I'm Jessica, and I just ran 20 miles.
And this is Raise Wrong, a podcast about our problems, your problems, and problematic things in general.
Hello, Patriots! It's me, I'm back. It's your favorite co-host, special guest of her own podcast.
It's your favorite mommy.
Mommy's back.
And I'm back. I never left. I never went anywhere.
Daddy never left. Do you think you would be daddy and I would be mommy if we had a baby?
Yeah, I do. I do think that.
You do? Mm-hmm. And it's like funny because I'm not like, I'm not giving like strong mommy energy either.
I don't I have strong any kind of energy.
We were both daddy. Are we gay dads?
I think that would be most appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'd be gay dads together. I think that'd be so cute.
That would be so cute.
I don't know if we're good enough to be gay dads.
Well, definitely not.
I have an idea. You know what we'll be? If we have a baby, we're going to be like this ragtag foster parent, great aunt combo.
Foster parent. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I'm going to be a foster parent and you're going to be the great aunt.
Wait, I wasn't listening. Which one am I? I'm the great aunt?
You're the great aunt of the foster parent who is me.
That sounds so old.
I just feel like that's the energy we're going to bring to parenting together. But we'll be so funny, though.
Yeah.
So the kid will grow up and be like, listen, my foster mom and my great aunt, they didn't do everything right. But I think the kid would be okay.
Oh.
It's just that
sure.
The kid would be like, you know, they did their best.
Yeah. You know what? This really reminds me a lot of, oh, I already forgot.
Oh, great.
Oh, you know what? I do want to tell you about my new body insecurity, okay?
Oh, yeah, okay.
I had a lot of thoughts about what. How do I say this? What do I introduce myself as? I was gonna maybe just say, hi, I'm Jeannie, and I'm 40 years old. Deal with it. We all know
deal
this. We
it.
All knew it was coming, but it came, it went, it happened. I bought myself a blood pressure monitor for my birthday.
Like one does.
I got Botox last week. I started worrying that I have crow's feet. Jessica just looked at me and she said, I don't. So did the Botox doctor. So I guess.
Yeah, I don't think she needs it.
Two out of two doctors agree that I don't need Botox on my crow's feet. But
and ironically, that's the only place I get mine.
That's so perfect.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's exactly the way this works.
Together, we'd have a wrinkleless face.
Exactly. Or a very wrinkly face.
Or we'd have a terrible face.
Anyway, so this is what I want to say. I'm insecure about my neck now. I constantly, like, look up into the heavens and try and stretch. I don't know. Maybe that's worse. I'm stretching the skin out. I don't fucking know.
Why? Okay, let's
I know is I've recently become, like, hyper-fixated on my neck skin.
Okay, I want to be transparent with the audience. Jeannie and I, through our podcasting history, have always spoken just on the phone while we were podcasting, but then Jeannie had this idea that we should be on FaceTime. Mm-hmm. So now I get to look at her, but realistically, I'm looking at me in the corner because my lips look so
me
good.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
But, and she's looking at herself as well, so it's okay. But sometimes I do take a glimpse of her. And let me tell you, I don't know. When she said her neck, I made it like an actual face because I was like, what the fuck's wrong with your neck, you crazy bitch?
And I didn't see your face because I was looking at my neck.
Because she was looking at her own neck.
That's funny.
But like, she doesn't, there's nothing wrong with her neck. And I'm sorry. Like, I honor body insecurity, obviously.
Obviously.
But I don't see anything weird about your neck. I do see that your cleavage looks incredible, though.
Thank you.
Jeannie has a great set of tits.
You've always said that and always made me feel so good. You were the first person to ever
tell
me
really
that.
Yeah, she really does. Really? Aww.
I don't know. I think it's the best person. The only person I remember.
Yeah. Who even cares what anyone else thinks about their tits?
But yeah, so I'm insecure about my neck now. That's what's new with me. And I told Jessica I wanted to talk about this briefly. Listeners, if you've never met us before, never listened before.
Yeah.
Where did you come from? How did you find
where
us?
Where are you?
Rate and review. When I was at my Dr. Sharon, Botox doctor, as I was leaving, she says the same thing every time. She says, now remember, no pressure on the face for 24 hours. No, like, extreme heat for 48 hours, like no saunas, and, you know, just take it easy with the workout today. And I said, if I must, if you say so, Dr. Sharon.
Oh, look at you, sassy.
Indicating
little
that I don't want to work out anyway, so I'm going to pretend that, oh, wish I could, but I can't because of Dr. Sharon. But then I was like, you know what? That actually reminds me, Dr. Sharon, that my best friend Jessica and I had a blog about divorce a long time ago. And we would usually write jointly using the technology of GChat, R.I.P. And then, of course, sometimes one of us would take the wheel, like Jesus. And I remember at some point you saying, or someone else saying, it's always obvious when Jeannie has written something without Jessica, because she's always talking about how much she hates exercising. And it was like that, only then, like 8 years into our relationship, that I learned that, like, oh, you like working out. I don't.
Yeah.
I just do it because it ultimately makes me feel better, but I hate doing it. So I actually went through this where I read all of our blogs on everyonegetsdivorced.com, still there, and I found some select excerpts.
Oh, I loved our blog.
This is from April 25th, 2013, called Nothing Helps, Tips on Combating Divorce-Related Depression.
Nothing Helps.
And it goes on about nachos, which is very funny because we used to talk about nachos a lot, and Jessica and I recently just discussed that neither of us ever eats nachos. We just, like, fantasize about them, I think.
Yeah, we just think we're going to eat them. Like, we want to eat them, but we never eat them.
I
think about nachos daily.
I think maybe 10 years ago I probably ate nachos on a more frequent basis.
We did. We used to eat.
Like college time. Anyway, so here are the some dumb suggestions for coping with depression. Number one, call a friend. Number two, get some exercise. And here's the editorial. I know it is the worst, but allegedly it helps people, even sad, pathetic people like you. Tip from Jeannie, set an attainable goal of 30 minutes doing something easy, then quit after 22 minutes. That's exactly my routine.
Yeah, she would always like start it and be like gung-ho and then be like, you know what? This is not serving me.
I was like, well, better than nothing. Better than nothing. Here's another one. August 30th, 2012. You know what's the worst? Exercise. It's horrible, and anyone claims to enjoy it should not be trusted. Every single time I go to the gym, I seriously consider doing three things. One, sitting in the locker room for 40 minutes instead. Two, sitting in my car for 40 minutes and plucking my eyebrows instead. Three, just going to Buffalo Wild Wings for mozzarella cheese sticks instead. But I don't, usually. Anyways, so on and on and on, Jeannie talks about cheese and how much she hates working out, and honestly, that's very 2012 of me.
Yeah. Well, do you remember?
That's like when cool girls were like, I like to eat garbage.
Yeah. I mean, garbage never moving. And I'm sexy. Well, do you remember Jeannie and I met outside of class because we met in philosophy class?
Yeah.
In college, we met outside of class, maybe one of the first times I ran into her at the gym at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And that little bitch was on the elliptical, low energy, as you can imagine.
The only thing I could handle.
Yeah. And then we talked about her having a UTI, and that's when it really...
I remember talking to you about a UTI, but about your UTI what was it called? RPAC?
Yeah, we were at the RPAC at Ohio State. I probably was telling you that I had a UTI, and you were saying, I get UTIs all the time. And I was like, what a couple of sluts.
Yeah, we're gross.
I like it.
Anyways, I am worried about my neck. I went down divorce memory lane.
Well, it was a great blog. Check it out if you want. There's still pictures of us being pretty on there. I guess, you know, this is a good transition into what I want to talk about, because Jeannie always hated exercise, and it always was funny to me that when she wrote things in our joint voice on our blog that she would talk about how much she hated exercise and those who did it, and I'm like in the corner like, oh my god,
yeah,
so embarrassed over here with my glutes.
That was really insensitive of me.
No, it's okay, I'm over it. So I just ran 20 miles and I want to talk about it because I do this relatively frequently. I was supposed to do it yesterday with my running group, which makes it so much easier when you're with like 20 people, but I didn't. I slept in and didn't go, and then I was mad at myself because this is how my exercise is usually fueled by guilt, and this helps me a lot. That's why I always tell people, they're like, oh, how do you do it? I'm like, I hate myself.
Yeah, hating yourself is important.
Just fucking hate yourself. I'm like, you don't hate yourself? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And that's why I have this friend, shout out Belinda. She's a new friend of mine, a running friend. And that's exactly what we were talking about once because we're both so mentally ill. Mm. This is on our last 20-mile run. We're running and she's like, I just feel like if I don't run one day, I'm fat. And I was like, yeah, of course. Why would we be doing this? Mm-hmm. Like, why would any people be doing this if they didn't have a mental illness and extreme insecurity?
Exactly. And that is the root of this podcast. And that's why women's magazines were so helpful, is they made us all fucking...
Yeah, this made me crazy.
All about, like, how to get rid of your arm flab when you're 112 pounds.
And, like, I'm elderly now, so, like, I don't care anymore. I'm not trying to fix anything. I'm actually very healthy, according according to my blood tests I just got as an elderly person.
Wow.
And I do like working out, and I do like running. I don't always like it while I'm doing it, and I also definitely don't like it right before I start.
Okay, well then maybe I'm not as bad as I thought, because I have grown. Well, now I think it's also important for the listeners to know, most of my life I was on the brink of death and severely anemic, and I hated working out because it was so hard. I couldn't breathe. That's why you would only ever find me on an elliptical maximum four, you know, resistance or intensity or whatever they call it. And now I actually can breathe more or less. And I'm like, oh, well, this isn't that bad. But I never want to do it.
If you want to hear more about Jeannie's diseases, which podcast is it where you talk about your strokes? We have a really good past podcast where Jeannie talks about her anemia strokes. And
was that one?
It's the funniest. Where'd you go? You stupid slut. Jeannie just hung up on me. Rude as hell.
Oh my God, hello?
You hung up on me, and I talked about it on the podcast without you.
That's so funny. I didn't mean to.
Oh,
yes. Chris Rock alien abduction from our first year of podcasting is when I talk about
listen to that.
My hemoglobin.
If you haven't listened to it yet, it's the funniest story you could tell about like a 34-year-old woman having strokes. So I recommend it.
I have never heard another one that is funnier.
No, me neither. Anyway, so I just ran 20 miles, and I want to say this because I think it's interesting, because Jeannie's talking about how she may not like exercising as much as me, but like, I don't either. I think that's what people don't understand. It's like, I like it when I'm done.
Yes.
But that's it.
Okay, cool.
I will say sometimes certain workouts, I have fun doing them, but like going to run 20 miles is not a thing I ever want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I sit in my house and stare at my shoes for like a really long time.
Oh, I love doing
that. And then I start being rude to me. To make me do it. And then I start calling myself mean names.
Yeah.
And then I go do it. And then sometimes there's moments while I'm doing it that I feel pretty good. But like, I got to like mile, I want to say 17 today. And I was just like ready to kill myself. I was like, this is the worst thing. Why do I ever do this?
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same every time I do a race, like a half marathon or marathon, like especially then, because you're trying so much harder and it's so much more taxing, that every time I get to the end of a race, I'm like, why would I ever do this is the stupidest thing. And I'm always like, I'm never doing a race again. This is dumb. And then like within a week I do it again. And in that way, it reminds me a lot of childbirth, because that's exactly how I felt when I was having my daughter, is I was like, this is so stupid. I will never get pregnant again. I hate it. It's terrible. And then I did. And I think that's just the exercise childbirth sort of ability to have you forget it as soon as you're done.
Yeah.
But I did run 20 miles. So if I sound tired, it's because I am. I also was telling Jeannie I'm dehydrated, because right before this podcast, I had to pee, and it was like the fucking orange drink that used to be from McDonald's. famously not the color your piss should be. So I'm trying to hydrate at this time, but we'll see what happens. So I'm sleepy.
Speaking of UTIs, isn't that azo stuff that numbs your urethra?
Oh, it turns your piss yellow as fuck.
It turns it like neon radioactive ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Ladies, if you have...
This all comes back to UTIs.
Yeah. If you have a urinary tract infection, azo is the greatest thing that ever happened, because you know how they hurt? Before your antibiotics kick in, you can take this drug that's basically like Tylenol for your urethra, as they call it, as the children call it. And it numbs it, so then it's not hurtful. But I don't even know if they have this prominently enough on the package. It makes your pee like jack-o'-lantern orange, and it's terrifying.
Right, like it will stain your clothes if you
happen to pee on your clothes, which you might.
Yeah, which I do.
Yeah,
I just wanted to say something that I think will segue into our next discussion, which is, I think it's so interesting that I think I might actually like exercising a lot more than I thought I did, based on what you've just said about not wanting to do it and not enjoying it while you're doing it. But I was going to say, it's so interesting that we approach hating ourselves so differently, because I do feel inspired to exercise based on hating myself, but it's also like just making myself not depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I get an hour of not being depressed after I work out.
Yeah.
But I was like, I feel like I tend toward hating myself. I tend toward drinking alcohol to cope with hating myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you do the healthier thing.
Yeah.
That says a lot about a person.
I don't know why, though. I don't know how this started, honestly. I mean, I started working out more seriously when I was like 15. That's when I started running. And I think I told you this story is because everything I've ever accomplished in life is from spite.
I know.
If you look at all of my major accomplishments, it's been because of spite. And that includes my running career because I was really slow. I played softball in high school, and I was really slow, and this one girl on my high school team said something shitty to me about it, and then I started running, and then I became so fast, and now she looks like shit, just in case you guys were wondering. She looks like absolute shit.
Where is she now?
Probably in a gutter somewhere.
Good.
Pissing
good
orange her. On her clothes. But, like, she was mean for no reason, and I got so mad. I was like, I'm gonna be the fastest fucking person on this team. And so I just decided in that moment to self-identify as a runner, and this is all a true story. I ordered at the time Runner's Magazine.
Wow.
And I started running, and I never stopped, and I just kept going. And I was like, I'm a runner now. I just decided. And then I got much faster, and now I'm very fast, actually, as it turns out, not to brag. But
what was that girl's name?
I wish I could fucking remember. I can remember what she looked like.
Oh, that's perfect. She's so inconsequential that you don't even know her name.
No, and it was like really shitty because nobody ever made fun of me in school, not to brag, but
another way in which we are yin and yang.
Yeah, never had any problems. Middle school, high school, nothing. No one ever teased me, no one made fun of me. I wasn't like the most popular person because I didn't partake in anything, so I just didn't get involved with stuff, but like all the different groups of people all liked me, and so it was really weird to have someone shit on me. And so like the sole time that somebody was like teasing me in school, my entire life changed. I changed my entire identity based on it. So can you imagine if I gotten teased more? Maybe I'd be more like successful. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I was going to say, when you were saying like everything you've ever accomplished is out of spite, I'm like, I don't even know if I've ever accomplished anything. So.
Oh, stop.
Huh.
Look at us raising our baby together. You're going to call that nothing?
Yeah, we are magnificent parents. You know? Yeah. That is, you know what? That is my greatest achievement, is our fictional baby.
Me too. Honestly, same, and I have three real ones.
Which I guess is, I don't know, our divorce blog.
Yeah. Our fictional.
We raised that baby for 2 years and then abandoned it.
Yeah, we absolutely did.
That's wonderful.
All right, so I don't need to talk about running anymore.
Gosh, this is so interesting. I feel like I've learned so much about my friend that I've known for 20 years.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Never stop learning, that's what I say. Always keep learning.
A-K-L.
Okay, I want to talk about what Jeannie's horny for today. And
you want to talk about what I'm horny for?
Yeah, I really do.
That's good, because it's boring. I couldn't decide what I was horny for as always, as eternally, but I am actually a little bit excited, because while I have stated before, I have accomplished very little in the 40 years I've been on this earth. What I am proud of is, number one, it's tax season, babies.
Oh, yeah.
Here's an accomplishment. I have an accountant.
Oh, okay, brag.
Talk about adulting.
Yeah, adulting much?
And every time I say, oh, my accountant, yeah, I'm always like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah.
Talking about your accountant.
Yeah, come on, Goshi. Settle down.
Anyways, but I do. It's true. I have an accountant. Shout out Alicia. She probably wonders a lot about what's going on in my life based on my finances, but I am so excited because I am self-employed, aka barely employed, and so I have to pay taxes. I don't have them taken out of my income, whatever. And so last year, for the first time, I paid the thing you're supposed to do called estimated taxes.
Ooh,
where so that I don't owe thousands of dollars the next year, you pay them every 3 months in an amount that is estimated based on your previous earnings. And so the problem with that is I don't know how much I'm going to make. So apparently the year before last, I made like regular money like adults might make. And I am getting a refund this year, a sizable refund, because I earned so much less money last year
good
than
for you.
Anyone ever could have imagined. So So she was like, good news, you're getting a refund. And I was like, oh my God, that is good news.
I love that news for
you. I don't know, Matt asked me, what are you going to do with it? And I'm like, I don't know, I guess pay to live for another few months, I suppose. But yeah, so I paid these estimated taxes. And not only am I getting a refund, but she's like, do you want to apply it to your like 2024 tax liability or do you want a refund? And I said, is there any way to split it? Because I know the responsible thing is pay the taxes again.
You can't be fully responsible.
But I'm like, but I want it now. And so she was like, okay, we'll apply this much to your taxes for 2024, and you'll get this much back. And I'm like, what? So not only am I getting a refund, I've already paid my taxes for next year.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
You're unstoppable.
I am unstoppable. Anyways, yes. So if you want a big payday, all you have to do is estimate that you're going to make like three times as much money as you do in a year. Pay that. And then they give it back to you.
Wow. It's like they're just holding it for you so you don't spend it all on Botox.
I know. And I would. I would.
Yeah, I know you would.
And I did.
I don't understand taxes. And I don't want to. I hate math. I don't want to learn. I don't want to learn anything.
No.
That's like the biggest thing for me is like, that's not true. I do want to learn some things, but like anything I'm not interested in, I never want to understand it.
Me neither.
Like, and taxes is one of those. I was married to an accountant once.
I don't think I knew that.
Remember him?
I mean, I remember him. I didn't know he was an accountant.
He's an accountant now.
That's so interesting.
Well, his dad had the accounting firm. Yeah. So anyway, isn't that boring?
Yeah.
He was also a math major. Talk about not compatible.
Oh, God. Well, you know, opposites attract and get divorced.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I got to talk about something, which is about honesty.
Is this about what you're horny for today?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm horny for myself and finally being willing to be honest, which is so hard for me because I am in my nature, deceitful.
Yeah.
Because I'm so good at it. And it's hard when you're really good at lying and manipulating to not do those things.
That's true.
Because you can get literally whatever you want. So, but I'm not. I usually use my lying and manipulation for good. So I wouldn't even go so far as to say that I was really lying or anything with this. But let me tell you a little story.
Okay.
So back when my husband, my elderly husband even, got together. He was still not divorced. Oh, I know. Clutch your fucking pearls. but he and his ex-wife were, they had been living apart for quite a while. She had a boyfriend. It was like one of those divorces.
Mm.
And it just took a long time because it was so contested. And there was an issue in that divorce. I'm not going to name names. It was her, who, about alcoholism. And one of the things the judge required the two, you know, my husband and his ex-wife to do was that they weren't allowed to drink while the kids were there. But my husband had the kids most of the time. And I will also say that I don't know what it means or what the qualifications are to be an alcoholic, but my husband was probably awfully close to it.
Mm.
The only reason I think he wasn't is because he was able to quit pretty easily. So I don't know if it's, I don't know if just drinking a fuck ton makes you an alcoholic or if it's the, like, how much you rely on it, you can't, like, stop. I don't know. Is it both of those things? I don't know. Regardless, he drank so much. And I get it because, like Jeannie was saying, I think it was a coping mechanism for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when we met, I switched his coping mechanism over to exercise.
You
to
guessed
match
it.
Mine.
Yep.
Yeah. And he stopped drinking because we decided to stop drinking because we were never drinking except for like every other weekend when he didn't have his kids anyway. And then we kind of just stopped, you know, and I didn't have a problem with that. We just became people who didn't drink. And that was like the last, 5 years, I think.
Wow.
And so for 5 years-ish, we didn't drink. We just stopped. And I felt great and I still feel great. I would always recommend people either, I think being sober is a great thing. And I think that even if you're not fully sober, I think that a lot of people I know drink too much. And it's not a judgment. I think it just makes you feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
So all this time, though, we, like I said, we've been sober. We go out with people. We don't drink. We don't have alcohol in our house. Although I've never had alcohol in my house, even when I did drink. That's just kind of a rule of mine because I have children. But recently, and I will say, I don't know, maybe Jeannie remembers. I would say like maybe a little over a year ago.
Sounds right.
I started thinking, you know what? I don't know that I want to never drink again.
Mm-hmm.
And I started really thinking like, because I was turning 40 last May. And I was looking back on my life the last 5 years. And I was like, I've done a really good job of supporting my elderly husband and not drinking. And I, as a history of alcohol, was never a problem drinker in my estimate. I don't know if Jeannie would disagree, but...
No, I would definitely agree.
I was not much of a drinker.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, I didn't drink very often. I'm not saying when I was in my 20s, I never got too drunk on certain nights, but even then, I didn't drink all that much.
Right.
So abstaining from alcohol was not a thing I needed to do. And so I started on this journey of absolute paranoia and insanity. And I talked to Jeannie. I talked to my friend Emily. Shout out, Emily. I talked to my therapist, and I kept telling people, like, you know, I think I want to drink again, and I'm afraid to tell my elderly husband. And I was so afraid of telling my husband, and you have to understand the things I do tell my husband to understand how crazy this is. Like, if I go out, I'll come home and tell my husband, oh, my God, these five guys at the bar all smacked my ass because I told them to see who could hit it the hardest. And then I did this other thing, and like, I'm aggressively flirting with men, and I'm like getting all these men's numbers, and they're all 25 years old. And I'm telling my husband all this stuff, and he's like, huh. And he doesn't give a single shit. And so you have to understand where I'm coming from is like, this is not a judgmental man who tries to control me in any way. Of course, we know, we've learned from two previous husbands that doesn't work.
She can't be tamed.
I can't be tamed. So he doesn't care. I can go out and aggressively flirt with men and, you know, be inappropriate with every single person I know. And he doesn't care. He's chill as fuck. But this thing, to tell him I wanted to drink again, became this horrible thing for me where I was so stressed out. And as I got closer to my birthday last year, turning 40, my friend Emily, who I'm not going to blame, Emily didn't peer pressure me, but she certainly made it okay for me. Emily's so sweet. For my birthday, she had like that set this whole day up for us. We went running, which she knows I like. We went to get facials. We went to, she booked a hotel near where I live, a really nice one. And we went down to that downtown area and stayed at the hotel. And when we got into the hotel, Emily brought champagne and she was like, it's time. And I was like, okay. So anyway, so I was drinking now. Now I'm back off the wagon and we had a great time and we didn't get sick. We did have to go all day to the Special Olympics the next day and Emily coached for like 12 hours and she wasn't at her best, but we had a great time. And so then I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, well, maybe I won't drink again. Like maybe I won't ever do it again. Well, then of course my other friend, Kara, wanted to celebrate my birthday and she took me to a concert. Shout out, Kara. And of course we drank at the concert too.
Yeah.
And then I go to Oktoberfest and I do this other stuff. And so, you know, I had maybe four or five times, and that's not a lot, obviously, for a fucking year to drink five times.
Jessica's been on a bender for the last year.
Yeah, I'm on a bender.
Yeah.
Literally, like that's it. When I say I've been drinking, quote unquote, I mean five instances in a year. And I was so upset about this. And I'm telling my therapist, I'm crying in therapy. And she's like, Jessica, she's like, if I told you I smoked five cigarettes a year, would you consider me a smoker? And I was like, no. And she's like, exactly. She's like, you're still basically a non-drinker. She's like, you drink so infrequently.
Yeah.
But it's like, and not to excess, which I don't. And she's like, I don't know why you're so worried. She's like, I really don't think Bob's going to care. I really don't think he's going to care. But it has been so hard. I mean, I like to call Bob my sweet, sweet daddy, but I was starting to feel like he was my real daddy.
Oh, no.
And like, I couldn't tell him me being bad.
He's going to ground you.
Yeah, he's going to be disappointed. And then I'm going to ask for a spanking. But yeah, but I am, but not the fun kind, you know? Like, I think he really wanted to upset me. And so I'm not fucking kidding you. All these months, it's just been so stressful for me. Like, I would go out, I went out last night to this happy hour associated with work thing. And I had, when I say I drank, I had 1.5 drinks. Like, I stopped halfway through the second one. And I come home and I'm like sneaking in like a teenager. And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, my therapist had threatened me last session. She's like, if you don't tell him by our next session, she's like, I'm going to strangle you basically. And I was like, oh my God. So I go up to my room yesterday and my husband, I thought was sleeping. And I literally, because I couldn't even say to his fucking face, you guys have to understand how crazy this is. Like how I can tell him so much stuff that most husbands would like file for divorce over. Mm. And I couldn't tell him, I could not tell him this. So I wrote him a text message
where
I tell all this stuff. And hang on, I got to pull it up. I'm not going to read the whole message because it's kind of long.
This is darling.
Yeah, it's kind of long.
You are so crazy. I love it.
I know. I'm insane. I read him this really long thing explaining it, talking about like, you know, I don't mind that you and I don't drink together in our life and it's not a problem, which is completely true. And like, here's what I did. And this is why it's interesting to me to continue doing with my friends. And he said, it's okay. He goes, it's okay. I'm not mad or disappointed. I never even expected you to stop drinking to support me. I'm glad you did in the beginning. At this point, I don't even think about it or miss it. That's it. And I'm like, I worried for 14 months about this.
That's so...
And it was like no big deal. I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm mentally ill.
Yes, yes.
So this is just my announcement that if you want to take me out for drinks, I'm in.
Jessica, I feel like I'm the only person... I don't think I've celebrated your 40th birthday yet, so next time.
That's okay. We can celebrate it next year. It doesn't even matter. Next time you're here, we'll celebrate both of our 40th birthdays.
That's what I figure. Whenever it works out.
Whenever we get together, we can go get fucked up. Yeah. For our 40th birthday.
Just a little bit.
But anyway, so it's so funny to me that I have just been so stressed about this for so long. And I should have known, because even my therapist and Emily, they're all like, he's not going to care.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. And they were right.
So anyway.
Well, I'm so glad you were able to be honest with your loving husband. I'm so glad he didn't lock you in a closet and force you to podcast as punishment.
No, he didn't. Like I said, I was like, I would rather tell my husband that I went to a bar and somebody stuck a finger in me. You know what I mean? Like, I would tell him that so freely.
That's so weird.
But, like, this was like, and he would have been like, I don't blame him. That's what he'd say.
Well, that I feel like he should be a little upset about if it was unconsensual. Non-consensual?
Oh, no, no. Not everything with me is inherent.
Everything with you is consensual.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm asking for literally everything. So that's what I'm horny for, that I finally was able to do that so I don't have to sneak around.
Oh, my God.
Like a little girl to not disappoint my elderly husband.
Now you can finally post all those pictures of you doing kickstands at parties on your Instagram.
Well, it's so funny because I went to Oktoberfest with two of my friends, and obviously we were drinking at Oktoberfest, and I intentionally told her, like, Emily, don't post the pictures of me drinking. And I'm like, are you 15?
You really did become a teenager. Yeah,
I was. I felt so much like a bad girl. Aww. And I was like, this is so stupid. So anyway.
That's sweet.
I know. It was kind of sweet, I guess. But that's it.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. So let's see what's next. What's next on the agenda?
Well, now that we've talked about what we're horny for today, now we get to do the fun part.
Oh, we're griping.
Which is where we gripe of the day. Or tell about what was or is unfair to us. Very unfair to us.
Very unfair.
I've been meaning to gripe about this, and it might be very unfair to me for several months, and I keep fucking forgetting. It makes me so mad. And I almost forgot it again. But, so I am... I'm the brains behind the Raise Wrong social media accounts generally. And, you know, we don't get that much action. It's okay. I'm not mad about it. But every now and then we'll get like a DM from someone. Raise Wrong got a DM on Instagram from an older, nice looking gentleman named Rick. And he wrote, "Love your sound. How can I promote you?" And then he signed his name. But I was like, I couldn't shake the feeling that this was not meant for us, because I feel like "love your sound" is not something you would say about a podcast of two people talking.
No. Our like, sound is,
I mean,
interesting.
Also, Rick J, his profile says actor, host of Spotlight on the Arts, talent agent, visual artist, and more.
Yeah, I can't go wrong.
So I'm like, wow, that would be great if he wanted to promote us. Okay, so then I forgot about Rick. Then last month, we got a DM from an older woman named Patricia. Patricia writes, "Been watching you for a while now and think your family is very talented. I'm not sure if I'm doing this right or not, since I'm nearly a grandma of nearly 73. Watch all your short clips, and I'm thinking to get full audio, I had to go to Instagram. So here I am, not sure what's next. Really enjoy you, and I think you raised the boys right."
I'm so confused.
"A gift of music is a great gift."
She loves our whole family. Me, you, the foster child. It's beautiful.
So ultimately, my family is very talented, but ultimately what I learned is these are two older individuals who I don't know how social media works, and they were trying to contact an account that is far more famous than we are, and that is Raised Wrong Productions. But Raised is spelled R-A-I-Z-E-D.
Ah.
I know you're all looking it up right now.
I'm about to.
But the question I have is, how do we get Raised Wrong Productions to promote us? Because they have 454,000 followers.
Yeah. We need this mistake to happen more often.
And do you know what Raised Wrong Productions is? It is two young boys singing, playing the keyboard, playing the drums, doing covers of, I'm listening to one, they're two young, like, adolescent boys
and their dad
playing Adele's Running in the Deep. They're drumming, they're performing their hearts out, which is begs the question, why are they called Race Wrong Productions if they're doing so well?
Yeah, they have a Patreon. I just looked it up.
Anyways, I don't know. Is there any way we can join forces with them? I don't think so, but...
We'd love to. Just message them and tell them that the dad is hot and that I'm in.
Okay.
Because he's kind of cute, honestly.
Well, the problem is Race Wrong Productions has not reached out to us, but a couple fans of theirs have.
Oh.
Anyways, I guess that's why it's my gripe. That's why it's unfair to me, is that this feels very unfair to me that not only is Raised Wrong Productions two young boys playing covers of Adele and Wham's Last Christmas, they're rubbing it in our fucking face.
Yeah, get out of my fucking face with that.
But they have nearly 500,000 followers.
How?
And look at us.
Look at us. Beautiful, though. Hot, though.
Beautiful. Talented.
Talented.
Insightful.
Insightful. Great necks.
Adult.
No wrinkles. You know? That's funny.
So that's it. I've been meaning to get this on my chest for a while. I hate that these children are so much more successful than I am.
Yeah, I hate most children.
It sucks.
Yeah.
They suck.
Okay, I want to gripe. This is, I labeled it customer service, but it's again, I hate how we keep coming back to this. And as our old and, not old, our loyal, long-time listeners will know, a couple years ago, I came clean about lasering my whole pussy. And
the hair, not just
the pussy itself, but all the hair. They call that a Brazilian. And so I did this whole thing where I want to say it was like 18 months. I went every 6 weeks to blast my puss, and it worked really well. It really did. I also got my underarms done, and I haven't had any regrowth on that since like the third session. Mm-hmm. I still get it done though, just to make sure it stays that way. So I go now every few months for a touch up. And even if there's no hair growing somewhere, I still just get the touch up because I'm like, why not?
Sure.
And so I go to get this touch up, and the woman, so this is what I do. Okay, so first of all, I had an appointment and it got canceled because they said they had a problem with their laser, which I was immediately worried about. I'm like, okay.
Not what you want to hear.
Make sure you fix it. So
especially when it's going to be on your vagina.
Yeah, on your, yeah. So I postponed the appointment, like, to the next week. Fine, whatever. Usually when I go in there, there's always a different girl doing this stuff. And this is, once again, this is a girl I had never met before. And I go, like I always do, I say, oh, how long have you worked here? Because I want to know, do you know how to use that fucking laser? And she goes...
Are you the problem with the laser?
And she goes, 30 days. And I was like, oh, I don't like that at all. And I'm like, so...
Was this court-ordered? Is she a court-ordered laser technician?
Yes. Yeah. She is. She has, like, a... England. I was like, okay, 30 days. I'm like, so did you work somewhere like this before? And she's like, no, I worked in a hospital. I'm like, oh. I'm like, so you've been operating this giant piece of expensive machinery blasting lasers on people's pussies for 30 days.
Nice.
And she's like, yes.
Cool.
And so now I'm immediately concerned. Usually, and Jeannie knows this, when I go in there, it takes 20 minutes total. Like, it's so fast. And the women who are used to this and good at it, they will go and just do the whole thing over again. Even if there's just like a tiny area of regrowth, they just do the whole thing and they do it really fast and it hurts, but it's over. This woman took so fucking long. First of all, she was asking me all these questions that I'm assuming were like probably they're supposed to ask you every time, but no one does.
Right.
And I'm like, you can tell she's a rookie because she's like going through this whole list of questions.
By
I'm like,
the book.
Can I please just leave?
Yeah.
And then I had the unfortunate situation where she found me so funny that like she wanted to just keep talking to me like we were friends. And I'm like, I just really literally want you just to blast this and like let me
tell
leave.
Tell her to listen to the podcast if she wants to be your friend so bad. It's like a simulation.
Yeah, exactly. Why isn't she rating and reviewing? Yeah. Like literally fuck off. So... so she starts doing, like I said, I usually get my whole armpit done, even though it hasn't had hair in like 2 years. And cause I'm there anyway. And she starts doing it and the other women usually do it. So it's like every second it's like another zap. Right. And she's going like,
oh no. Oh no.
I hope you can hear that.
I can very much so.
So it's like really slow cause she's not good at it. And I'm like, okay, this is torture. I'm like, I'm not interested in this. So I told her, I was like, don't worry about the armpits. I'm like, there's nothing there. It doesn't matter. I'm like, I have a couple tiny spots where I'm getting like tiny bit of regrowth on the vagina area. And I'm like, can you just do the areas where you see hair? Because I let it all grow because I wanted them to know where it was. And so she just does these tiny little patches instead of the whole thing, which is shitty because I still have to pay the same amount. And it was so painful because she just took so long.
Oh my God.
And she would not stop fucking talking to me. She's asking me about my job. She's asking me about my kids. And it's like, I like talking to people when they're moving quickly.
Yes.
Like, this is making it take longer.
Right.
And I felt bad because she was really nice.
Like, she's not good at multitasking.
No. She was so nice, though. And it made me feel so bad.
I hate
and
that.
So that's the moral of my story. I'm griping because I liked her so much that I would never dare complain about her. But I want to because it was so bad. And so now I'm like, usually I wouldn't go back for a few months, but I'm going to go back to get it like done correctly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like I'm going to have to be like, I don't want so-and-so to do my, and like I have these images of her crying because I didn't love her. And I know that's not even a thing.
Oh
but
my God. I feel so guilty. I used to, well, I still do. I go to a place to get my hair cut and colored. And I had a person that I liked doing the color for a long time, then she left, and then I kind of dated around the shop, and everyone else sucked.
Mm.
And now I found another girl that's very good and, like, thorough and doesn't miss spots, which is important when you're bleaching hair.
Yeah.
And every time I see the other people, I feel so awkward, where I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That you're no good.
Exactly. And I just feel bad because she's just, maybe she will be really good at it one day, but she's had 30 days experience.
Maybe after 60 days.
So it's like, I don't even know that she won't be good. And I know people have to start somewhere, but, like, not on my pussy. No one's starting there.
No.
Experience only.
That's a bummer cigarette. I know people have to start somewhere, but not on my pussy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's it. That's all I have to say. We can move on, especially because I'm so excited about this.
Well, thank you. I think the listeners are always very excited about an update on your pussy.
Yeah, I'm going to always talk about my pussy and how it's so hairless. And like, you can't even imagine. It's actually, honestly, it worked really well. When I say regrowth, it's like nothing. And it's like fine hair. Like, you can barely see it even.
Wow.
And so it's
that's
beautiful,
cool.
gorgeous. But like, I want to take care of it. I do not want one bit. So like, as soon as I see anything, I'm like back in the stirrups, you know what I mean? So
all right. Yeah, of course. I know
of course.
What you mean.
All right, so let's look at,
all right,
where are we doing? Cosmo.
We're doing Cosmo.
Okay.
And are you okay with what we're doing for Cosmo?
Yeah, I have it open, but I don't know what's the issue. You tell me.
I'll tell you all about it. Okay, so listeners, if this is your first time hearing about our vaginas, this is where we talk about how we were truly raised wrong, and that being specifically Cosmopolitan magazine in the early 2000s. Now we're getting into the, what's the aughts? Is that the zero ones?
I don't know what that means. Up until 2009.
What's 2010 part of?
I don't know. The teens? Tens?
Okay, well, this one's from 2010, which both seems so recent and yet so long ago.
Yeah.
October 2010 Cosmo. Now, I didn't even show you this, but what this is part of is a section called You, comma, even better.
Mm.
So we can deduce that this is about improving yourself. And the thing that we're going to talk about is only one of seven cool tricks you need now. And do you mind if I read this little introduction?
I do not.
Scientists have found that the more stuff you can do, the more you love life.
Mm, fantastic.
So we've supplied you with a mix of crafty moves so fabulous, you'll have a blast showing them off. Reason number 895 to up your game, a recent study from San Francisco State University found that adding abilities to your already awesome repertoire makes you happier and healthier. Researchers also discovered that people benefited the most when they picked up things that gave them an edge. This part is important. They don't have to be heavy duty, like learning to be a master chef.
Mm.
We're talking about fun and helpful skills you use every day, like saving seats in a crowd or creating the perfect surprise for your guy. With that in mind, we consulted experts to come up with the following sexy, smart, and stylish tips to make you even more impressive. Tear out the cards and stash them in your bag so you can whip them out whenever. Now, Jessica, you don't know this, but the image I sent you is part of, it's printed on like a thicker cardstock almost.
Okay.
And they are perforated so that you can whip them out of your bag. And so I need you to know what some of the other, what are they calling these? Skills?
Abilities.
Abilities? Here are the other abilities that they're going to teach you about. Carving a racy pumpkin, as in...
Oh!
This is...
Sexy?
a stencil for carving a pumpkin, and those are lips, which I guess are racy.
Yeah, you gotta have a lip pumpkin. Yeah, that's so hot.
This one is two little placards that say reserved, and that's how your ability is to save seats in, like, a movie theater? I don't know. Another one is a Mad Libs on how to write a thank you card.
Mad Libs?
And it says... Yeah, look. Okay, can you read that?
Yes. Dear person's name, so it could be any person. Thank you so much for what she did. Okay. It meant a lot to me because why you appreciate what she did. Okay. I hope we can connect again soon. Then this is a tricky one. Your name. How can you not write that without a template?
How exactly? Like, that is not the hard part, is knowing... saying dear someone and thank you.
Yeah, it's all the blanks they left that are the part you need to, like, think about.
And now on the other side, two of the other ones are suss out his situation and one called key pressure points. And it says out of ibuprofen, reflexologist swear touch. It tells you where to poke yourself to alleviate pain.
Oh, love
which
that.
I'm sure does not work. Sorry, sorry if there are any reflexologists listening. Yeah. Anyways, so... We're only going to talk really about the one. Now, this is, of course, the most raised wrong, most Cosmo, most early 2000s ability you could imagine. And the ability is how to burn 305 extra calories a week.
So specific.
Not 300, but 305.
Yeah, go the extra mile.
Do you want to read the tips?
I do. So here's how we're going to burn 305 extra calories a week. And it says, can't make it to the gym as often as you'd like? Do these sneaky little moves instead. Do you want me to read all of them? Because there's really not that much reading here.
Yeah, read them all.
All right.
So there's the once a day and once a week. Is that how they are?
Yeah, yeah. So here's our daily tips for burning an extra 305 calories a week. Forget that paper seat cover in a public bathroom and squat instead. That's going to burn you five calories. I don't even believe that that burns five calories. That's the thing.
I mean, that's one of the biggest problems with this, other than the fact that burning calories is not an ability.
No, it's exactly.
I don't know where they got their information, but go on.
Lunge to pick up each of the 10 shoes you try on when getting dressed. Five calories. You know how women are, trying on shoes.
So they're saying you're going to try on 10 shoes before you decide on the shoes you're going to wear today.
Yeah.
And when, instead of picking them up like a normal person, you're going
lunge to get them.
Do a lunge.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You guys would just do 10 lunges. I don't know.
No. No.
No. When talking to your boss, squeeze and release your butt muscles 60 times. What? Five calories.
I mean, I think we can all agree that there is no way that could go wrong.
Well, I'm always squeezing my butt when I'm talking to all of my coworkers. But I didn't even realize I was burning five calories. It was just like for fun.
Oh shit. I've been doing lunges when I talk to my boss.
Oh, really?
And putting shoes on.
I've been putting paper seat covers on people and then squatting. Oh my gosh. All right, here's another one. This is our daily tips. Rise up and down on your toes 15 times to get a better view of the hot barista at Starbucks while you're waiting in line. Five calories. That won't look weird. That's fine.
So far we're at a grand total of 20 calories. Is that right?
Yeah. You have to do calisthenics.
Which are not even correct, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And here's our once a week. So this one, don't overdo this one. Okay. This is just do this once a week.
Yeah. No, these are more strenuous.
Belt out your rendition of Katy Perry's California Girls for 15 minutes in the shower. 35 calories. How many times do I have to sing that song? Five times? To do it for 15 minutes?
At least. Yeah, I think.
I literally, as a person who, I'm not, like, I don't count calories, and I'm not as calorie conscious as I was when I was a young anorexic teenager like the rest of us in the 2000s.
Right.
But I don't believe singing is going to burn 35. I just don't believe that. And I know this as a runner, and knowing that I ran for over 3 hours.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And it did burn 2,000 calories, which is a ton. Not that you couldn't eat it in one Dairy Queen shake. But my point is, I literally ran at a relatively fast pace for 3 hours. I don't think singing a song standing is going to do this.
No. So now that is going to be a recurring issue on this weekly section of activities.
Okay. We have a few more. So just in case you haven't burned your 305 yet, hang in there. Watch 30 Rock or any other hilarious show to laugh for 10 minutes, 50 calories. You'd have to really laugh. Wow,
50 calories.
I mean, this would be like laughing to the point where you're...
You're laughing while you're doing jumping.
Yeah, you're doing calisthenics. You're singing. You're laughing. Your butt is squeezing. Oh, my God. Okay. This one I get behind. Shake your ass along with the radio while you're making breakfast. 20 calories. I famously shake my ass around the house all the time because I'm always practicing twerking.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, because
I haven't heard about your twerking in a while.
Oh, yeah. I decided at a certain point that I had to know how to twerk. And it's difficult, but I learned how to do it through sheer will and practice. And now I can. And sometimes I practice. Okay. But I don't think I'm burning that many calories. I don't think it's made a real dent in that.
All right. Is this the last one?
Yeah. This is your favorite?
This is my favorite. Okay. It's my favorite.
Get ready. This is how we're going to burn 60 full calories every week, you guys. Hold your drink for 20 minutes at happy hour instead of setting it on the table. That in no fucking planet will burn 60 calories. Just holding a drink.
Holding it for
20 minutes.
I mean... I don't
Why
think,
would you ever do that?
I don't... Okay, we had the internet in 2010. There was a lot of stuff on it. I don't know where they got this information. I feel like they got it from Quora or something because there's no fucking way.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, number one of the ways they got these calorie counts is, like, the fact that just being alive and living and breathing burns calories.
Right. That's like your base
metabolic rate or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, I guess I could believe that... Anything could burn 5 calories because that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's just like
standing. But that's
standing.
Part of living. That's what I'm saying. Like,
but holding a cup versus
setting it down.
Setting it on a table.
No.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, they're saying that for 20 minutes while you're talking to people, if you're holding a cup, you will burn the same amount of calories as if you ran like 3/4 of a mile. That's what they're telling you.
That's
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, I need to tell you something. I did a lot of really... important research. So I did Google how many calories does singing burn.
Okay.
And fair. According to the London Singing Institute, now this is not a calorie institute, but they say on average, someone standing as they sing can burn 136 calories per hour compared to 100 calories sitting down.
Wow.
So it seems that
squatting?
The difference between standing and sitting is not that big.
That's an hour of singing?
Yes, an hour.
I mean, that's a long time.
Now, I also Googled how many calories does holding a drink burn.
Mm.
And if you can believe it, there are no results.
Oh.
It says, did you mean how many calories does holding a plank burn? And I said, no, you idiot. Obviously, I'm talking about how many calories it burns to hold a beverage.
I have an idea. You do a plank and I will rest my beverage on you and I will transfer my calorie burn to you and I'll just be disgusting not holding a drink.
Perfect. Anyways, this is so weird. I can't possibly imagine if Cosmo actually thinks someone would find any of these things useful and if you would actually take them out of the magazine and keep them in your purse so you need to remember to squat when you go pee.
I do that anyway.
Also, I learned from TikTok that that's bad for your pelvic floor, so don't do it.
I don't care. I do it. I'm not sitting on anything. It's good for my glutes, though, so I don't care.
I sit on everything. I don't give a shit.
This bitch sits on everything.
I'll put my bare ass on anything.
That's why they call you bare ass genie.
That's true.
Okay, what's our internet dumb? Tell me about this.
Okay. I'm honestly very curious if you've seen this. I told my lover about it and he was like, oh yeah, I saw that. And then I went on a little rant about it. So I saw on Instagram today, I can't remember what dumb account posted it, but it is a picture of a large, like really large, I mean it says in the caption nine tons. A giant stone head of, like, a warrior or something.
9 tons. Somebody needs to start singing Katy Perry songs, if you know what I mean.
Tons. Yeah, absolutely.
Too big.
So what it says, this one is from Street Art Globe, and it says, Mexican artist Chav... I don't know how to pronounce anything. Mexican artist Chavis Marmol crushes a Tesla car with a 9-ton Olmec colossal head sculpted from a basalt. Mm-hmm. How do you say that?
I don't know. Basalt sounds good to me.
Sculpted from some sort of a boulder as part of his latest artwork. Marmol says, the head is glorified before a technological object that in the end is just a product of a capitalist system.
Oh my God.
What do you think about this artwork? And I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah, please.
And it's kind of a spoiler because this is called the internet dumb. I think it's dumb because... And I feel like a lot of people are like, hell yeah, fucking Elon Musk, Tesla. Now, nobody hates Elon Musk as much as I do.
Yeah.
Maybe his children, but other than that, like, I think he sucks. I think his cars suck. Just last time, I ranted about his fucking ugly-ass Cybertruck. I do wish this was a Cybertruck instead of just a Tesla, which... Yeah. It's like a more dignified car.
So this artist got a giant 9-ton sculpted fucking boulder head and dropped it on a car because of capitalism?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
And now, do I need to say that I don't understand a lot of art? No, I don't. It's quite obvious. But what is the point of this? Now, this is what makes it dumb to me. I don't have to understand or like all art. That's true. But this is... just as dumb, or maybe significantly dumber than every time, like, idiot conservatives get up in arms about, like, something going woke, and they shoot their Bud Light with guns, or burn their Nike shoes.
Yeah, or they burn their jerseys. Yeah.
And it's like, so where did the Tesla come from?
Yeah, somebody bought a Tesla, and then they smushed it.
And somebody, like, people in the comments were like, well, I want to know if the car was donated, or who bought it. And I'm like, God. It doesn't matter who bought it. Somebody bought it.
Nobody donated their Tesla to get smushed by an Olmec colossal sculpted boulder head. That's stupid.
No, and if they did, it doesn't matter. You already bought it.
Bought it. Right. Exactly. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, well, people lose their minds.
I don't get it.
People love to complain. Listen, I'm not even going to make a statement positively or negatively on capitalism. It's not because of capitalism being so great. It's because they do all kinds of shit like this, which I hate to say it, hashtag virtue signaling. But, like, what is this accomplishing? What are we accomplishing?
It's clickbait.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, ultimately, this artist... Oh, my God. You know what? I'm sorry. I am going to shit on this artist. I looked at his art.
Do it.
He has art for sale. And once again, I like art. I like music. I like things. I like visual art. I think I do not like conceptual performance art.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And somebody out there does.
But if he's selling it, what is he selling then?
Well, okay, so I don't think that, I don't know if this is for sale.
Is he selling experiences?
I want to show you one of the things I saw on this artist's website that is for sale. It was only $1,600. It was a chair, like a very basic, like boxy metal framed chair, a decent chair, and it had truck nuts on it.
Okay.
And that's it.
Nice.
And that's the extent of the piece, as they call it. And that was for sale for $1,600. Now, is that itself a comment on capitalism? Probably. But I'm sorry. I don't know. You're no better than Elon Musk if you're selling a chair with truck nuts. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I can't afford not to buy that.
I don't know. Anyway, so that's what you're getting for your birthday, but...
Oh, yeah. Can you put a dildo on it, too, so I can squat over it?
Absolutely. That'll increase the resale value for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fuck
whatever.
Yeah.
I'll have to send you the picture of the chair with truck nuts, but I think you can imagine it in your mind's eye.
I can.
It's a chair with truck nuts.
I can. I love it.
So that's our dumb of the day.
Okay. Are we ready?
Let's move on.
Okay. Let's move on to Fuck, Marry, Kill. Today we're going to Fuck, Marry, Kill three things I think are incredible, and these are... All three things are Joe Biden's fault.
Yes.
Things he controls.
Yeah.
And this is according to, we got this, we were inspired when, what's her fucking face, a dum-dum with the blonde hair?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. She like tweeted or posted or whatever, something basically saying that the eclipse was like the sign of, what was it? Can you find that? I don't want to waste our time, but can you find that?
I found it. That was so fast. God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens. So the implication being that Joe Biden is responsible for earthquakes and eclipses. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't include earthquakes in this because they are much sadder.
They're sad.
they cause people death.
Yeah, we thought about it, and then it was hard of us to like marry earthquakes, so we cut that out.
Sorry, but that is only one of the many things that Joe Biden is responsible for. So Joe Biden, guys, at the time of this listening, the eclipse will have happened. And I think you have Joe Biden to thank for that.
Yeah.
So if you like eclipses, that's a good thing. If you hate eclipses, bad thing. Mm-hmm. But I think we all know that conservatives have also blamed Joe Biden for, like, a big boat hitting a bridge.
Yeah.
And, well, the price of eggs, just inflation in general.
Yeah. So, okay. So we are going to fuck, marry, kill three things Joe Biden controls: gas prices, eclipses, and trans Easter. Is that what we should call it?
Yes.
Well, you can explain more about that in a moment. You're going to go first, so you go ahead.
Okay.
You want me to go first?
No, I want to go first because you're going to be better.
Oh, don't you dare.
I think I absolutely have to marry trans Easter. And mm-hmm. for the uninitiated, trans Easter is Easter 2024. Joe Biden came up with a devious little plan to put Easter on the same day as the trans day of visibility. In which, I don't know, when did that start?
I'm looking it up right now. 2009 was the first International Transgender Day of Visibility on March 31st, 2009.
Yes. So, in 2009, Joe Biden created the trans... No, so... So, conservatives, obviously, if you're finding this hard to understand, conservatives were mad that Joe Biden allowed the Christian superstar holiday of Easter to be on the same day that people are talking about being trans, and that is blasphemous and something and blah, blah, blah. Now, it is worth mentioning that the way that we determine what day Easter falls on is one of the craziest calculations I've ever heard of, and it is the first Sunday after the full moon that falls on or after March 21st.
Mm.
If the full moon is on a Sunday, Easter is celebrated on the following Sunday.
Okay.
Although Easter is liturgically related to the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere, March equinox, and the full moon, its date is not based on the actual astronomical date of either event. I don't know what words mean, but the point is, Easter somehow has to do with when full moon is, which sounds to me very pagan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love that.
The trans day of visibility is much simpler. It's on March 31st.
Yeah, and always has been.
Is that
been.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Easter can be on many, many days. I think the earliest is like, and I'm just guessing, like March 15th or something, and the latest is like the end of April.
No, it
so.
Has to be on or after March 21st.
Okay, so on or April, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it can be like a month of time.
Yes.
And so the fact that it's on the 31st is not meaningful.
No.
I can't believe that would make people mad, but I also do believe it. So, okay.
Of course you do. Anyway, so I marry trans Easter because I think that Easter needed a bit of a refresh. And
I
think that's exactly what we've all been wanting. I'm going to kill eclipses. And that's honestly just because I want to make people mad. This is...
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, I hate how excited everyone is.
I think it's like, okay, it's cool. It is cool. But, like, so we had the last big eclipse I know about was in, I think, 2017. And Oregon was in the path.
Yeah.
And Portland was not in the, like, path of totality or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty close. So my parents... Yeah. Came from Ohio, visited. They drove out to somewhere to see the full total eclipse. They said it was awesome. They're really happy they did it. I felt a little guilty for not going with them, but I was afraid because of how insane people are that we would be like stuck in traffic for a full, you know, 28 hours or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it actually wasn't bad getting there, but believe it or not, getting back was a nightmare because everyone was on the road at the same time. And
of course,
I opted not to go, but like I stayed, Matt and I watched the almost total eclipse from the backyard. It was cool. It was weird. It was like, yep, that's weird. It's kind of eerie. It's dark when it shouldn't be. And now it's not.
Amen. Yeah.
And that was it. And I'm just like, I don't know why that's so exciting.
I am famously in the totality this time.
I know.
It switched it up. So now Central Ohio is going to be
getting your time to
and
shine.
I also don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also don't care.
Anyways, I am killing eclipses just because to be a contrarian, because a lot of people are really excited.
I love that about you.
And so I'm being such an asshole that I am choosing to fuck high gas gas prices instead of eclipse. And that's because if you care about the environment, you should want Joe Biden to make the gas prices high, because that will cause you to drive less.
Oh, you're so smart. Look at you.
And also, when gas prices are high because Joe Biden made them that way, I feel very European, and I think that's kind of cool.
That's kind of hot, honestly.
Like, yeah. Ooh, $5 a gallon gas? What am I, French? I don't know how much gas costs in Europe. I really don't, but...
I'm following you, though. I'm with you.
I've really shown you all how stupid I am today, so I'm excited about that.
And I love that for you.
Jessica, why don't you tell us what you would fuck, marry, and kill from things Joe Biden controls?
Oh, I would love to. Okay, so Joe Biden controls the eclipse, as we talked about, and I'm going to marry the eclipse. And I know you're like, Jessica, you just said you hated the eclipse.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, the reason I'm going to marry the eclipse is because, like, so many of my marriages, it doesn't last very long. Mm. And so as much as I might hate the eclipse, it's going to be over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the totality part's like, what, 2 minutes?
Something like that.
I mean, I can. Yeah, exactly. So we'll get married and then we'll be divorced by the end of the day. So it's not going to affect me too much, you know. And then one day I'll just be like, yeah, the eclipse is an accountant, you know.
You'll be like, honeymoon's over and so is the marriage.
Yeah. All the moons. So, yeah, I'm going to marry the eclipse. I'm going to fuck trans Easter because I have mixed feelings on Easter in general. I like Easter. We have secular Easter in my house. Our Easter mm-hmm. is focused on bunnies and only bunnies. But Easter's a pain in my fucking ass because my kids, I have to like do elaborate fucking Easter egg hunts for them. So this is just me fucking Easter in general. I guess, let me put it this way. I would have killed Easter.
Yeah.
If not for the fact that it's also Transgender Visibility Day.
Yeah, right.
So that is saving Easter for me. And especially just the way it pissed so many people off, like, delighted me beyond what you can imagine. And so I'm going to fuck Easter, but I'm only fucking this year's Easter that Joe Biden ruined.
Yeah.
Because next year, Easter will probably be on a different day, and then I'll kill it.
It'll just be regular Easter next year.
It'll be regular
Easter.
It'll
be cisgendered Easter.
Cisgender Easter. I hate that. I'm going to kill high gas prices, and that's because it's not that I'm upset that gas prices are high. I'm just upset that there's gas, and that has nothing, literally nothing to do with the environment, and it's all about how I don't want to get gas.
Oh, I hate getting gas.
I don't want to ever get gas. Uh-uh. I famously, first of all, my elderly husband is such a gentleman that I almost never have to get gas myself because he always gets it for me, but on the odd times he doesn't, and this is just something I've done my entire life,
and maybe
this is because I had undiagnosed ADHD, will go to the gas station and start pumping it and then never get a full tank because I get bored. So
I hate when it takes a long time.
I can't wait that long. And you're not supposed to have, and I'm also a rule follower. So they're like, don't have your cell phone. And so I don't, but then I'm bored.
And then you're like, I'm bored, I'll just smoke a cigarette. And then you're like, oh no, I can't do that either.
Oh shit, I can't smoke a cigarette either. So like, I get so bored pumping gas that I usually only make it like maybe a half tank. And then I just give up. And I'm like, my husband can get the rest later. And I leave.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm going to kill gas. And it has really honestly nothing to do with the prices. It's just because I hate gas in general. Okay. So whatever the price,
so
I don't care.
There are a lot of asterisks on our fuck, marry, kill this week. For instance, Easter is specifically only when it falls on the same day of Trans Day of Visibility.
Yes.
Gas prices is really just your feelings on gas in general. And
yeah, I think that's perfect.
Eclipses, I think that was pretty straightforward. But
eclipse is straightforward.
Well, I feel pretty stupid.
I think it was great.
Because of a lot of things. So that leads us into, it's time for Dumb Bitch of the Day. And I immediately nominate myself because I feel so stupid today.
You have expressed that you feel stupid several times. And I get what you're coming from. But, like, the things you're saying you're stupid about are things everyone's stupid about. So, like, I don't think you should feel stupid.
Well, like, listeners, for instance, I changed gas prices to inflation because I thought that was the same thing. And then I was like, oh, that's not the same thing.
It's not quite. But that's okay. But, like, for me, I'm going to support your nomination of yourself.
Okay,
but it's not because of that. It's because you think your neck looks weird. And, like, I think that's dumb because, like, your neck looks fine. No, I'm looking at it right now.
But Okay, here's the actual problem, Jessica. I broke the large mirror that I used to have where I do my makeup because I never hung it on the wall. I just had it, like, leaning against the wall, and one day it just fell the fuck over.
I have a mirror just like that.
Scared the bejesus out of
me. It's leaning on a wall.
And now I only have this, like, one little mirror. It's, like, a round mirror on a stand, like, pedestal. It's, like, the one size normal, the other size magnifying. The problem with the mirror is it is at a slight... It's slightly below my head level, so when I have it, it's like tilted up. I'm getting like all neck when I look at myself.
Oh yeah.
Unless I squat, which I should, because it would burn 2 calories. You burn
2 calories and not see your neck. It's a win-win.
I think my neck insecurity would be solved by just getting a new mirror and putting it on the wall properly.
Yeah, I think we can fix this. This is fixable. But I'm going to go ahead and say you're the dumb bitch of the day. I'm going to give it
to
you.
The fact that I haven't done that makes me dumb.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, well, on that note, we're gonna bid adieu, even.
We are.
To our patriots.
We love you. Thank you so much for listening. I know it's been a rough ride.
Why has it been a rough ride? I actually don't know why.
I have no idea.
All right. Anyway, we love you guys. Rate and review, for the love of God.
Jesus Christ, rate and review. And
a happy belated trans Easter to you.
In my house, it's trans Easter every day.
Yeah. In this house?
In this house?
In this house?
It's like what companies say about Earth Day. It's like, we celebrate Earth Day every day. Yeah. Well, we celebrate trans Easter every day.
Get used to it, America.
Yeah.
Bye. We love you.
Bye. Woo.